Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Knight Campbell, your host for The Leading Edge, women pushing boundaries in life, adventure, and leadership. Our topic today is Having It All with Dr. Pat McKay. Dr. McKay is an orthopedic hand surgeon, U.S. Navy captain, and mom. She runs small business and right now is managing educating three teenage daughters during the pandemic. Today, I'm particularly excited to dig into how you've been able to juggle all these different responsibilities through an impressive career. Good morning, Dr. McKay, and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you, Knight.
I'm really excited. You're the first doctor we've had on the show, and certainly looking forward to this conversation. And I just want to start out with, what should our listeners know about you?
Well, I have been an orthopedic hand surgeon for more than 20 years now. And although the numbers are steadily growing, there have been relatively few women in orthopedic surgery. And so I feel like over the years, I really have had an opportunity to experience and overcome some challenges related to that, and to see women today continuing to work hard and make it a better environment for everyone.
Great. This is a perfect place to dive in here. There aren't that many hand surgeons in the world, and orthopedics has classically been a male-dominated field. What was it like for you going through medical school, residency, and your career in the field of orthopedics?
Well, I found that one of the benefits of being in the military for my medical school and residency training is that the military actually had already kind of run into some problems related to women in the service and the relatively lower percentages of women. And so they were already, at the time I came on board in 1989, making some very clear educational opportunities or training, we call it in the military, to make sure that people knew that female officers, female medical students, female trainees were not to be treated differently than males. And the pay system and the promotion system is structured to help minimize undue bias. However, it still, of course, is present, not just in the men that you work with, but even in the women's minds, my own included, where you are just so used to seeing people in one role that you can't get used to them in this new role. So I had many times over the years where people would look around the room and say, you know, we're just waiting for the surgeon. If that surgeon would just hurry up and get in here. And I say, well, that's me. I'm the surgeon. I'm here. Let's get started. You know.
Wow.
So it's an interesting problem. And sometimes also the way that women communicate is different. We tend to be more collaborative. We don't always remember to take up space in the room and to make ourselves clear. We're often told not to be confrontational because it's perceived as so unpleasant when a woman is too aggressive. For a man to be clear and direct, it's seen as strength and leadership. But when a woman is clear and direct, it's confrontational and aggressive. So we learn to kind of lead from the back, and that's not a good approach. You can manage it, but it often doesn't get recognized by the leadership as true leadership. And so women lag in promotions and in other positive reviews because they're not stepping forward and leading from the front in the way that we recognize as clear and direct leadership.
I'm very fascinated here, and I'm curious your take. There's two camps. I think it's Anne-Marie Slaughter and Sheryl Sandberg would lean in. There's the idea that, you know, women need to just be more assertive and lean in and drive toward what they want. My wife, Leonie, Dr. Campbell, also says, you know, take your seat at the table. And there's other camp of, well, it's complicated and women are mothers and have children and things might be different. And it's not fair for society to demand that. Perhaps women lead better collaboratively, and it would be more beneficial for society to value that and stop putting this pressure on women to lead like men are expected to lead. And I'm burning curious to know what your thoughts are. What's the right mix?
I think that is an excellent point. And I'm going to use a sports example. When my daughters were doing soccer, and my husband would be on the sideline, and at the end of the practice or the game, he would say, "You need to play more like a boy. You're too compassionate. Don't stop for the girl who fell and is holding her knee and rolling on the ground. You just keep kicking that ball towards the goal. What are you doing? You know, play like a boy." And part of me just wanted to say, "Yeah, that's how you win the game." And then the other part of me said, "Oh, don't teach them that it's wrong to care about that person on the other team who might be hurt, or to show some compassion while they're playing in sports." So I think that is very true in healthcare and leadership as you move through medical training and in practice as a physician. So I do think there's a lot to be gained if women can learn to recognize the strength of their desire for collaboration and their desire to work towards a common goal in a more open way with lots of communication instead of a directive. This is how I want it done. This is what we're going to do. The flip side to that is that sometimes we fall into a trap of shrinking ourselves to fit into the situation. So I think women need to be prepared to turn on that more direct, more precise mode of communication when they're in a meeting, especially if they are a minority in the room, because when you've got 9 or men at the table and 1 woman, if you wait for your chance to collaborate and say, "Well, tell me more about what you think and I'll tell you more about what I think," you'll never get your words out. So you have to be prepared to step forward in that setting and say, "Wait, this is my department. This is where we're coming from. And no, we're not just going to take a back seat to the other 9 departments represented at the table because I'm afraid to disrupt the status quo." So I think it is a strength to be collaborative and to be compassionate, but it has to be balanced against the setting that you're in.
This is really great advice. And it's so interesting, the anecdote of playing like a boy or playing like a girl. And I mean, just imagining in my head, playing like a boy really kind of means the classic, you know, 5-year-olds all flocking to the ball and aggressively trying to be the one that kicks it. And playing like a girl means working as a cohesive unit in the way that we know soccer games are actually won, working as teams. So it's
right.
A little ironic. What advice do you have for women in typically male-dominated fields? I love this, the idea of balancing, like sometimes play to your strengths and sometimes understand that you're going to have to communicate and play to the other strengths and be assertive and precise. How do you know the difference between those two situations?
I think that is probably the hardest part, is knowing when to push forward and when to allow your, maybe your natural style to show. And in gathering information from some of my colleagues in medicine who are also women surgeons, they express a lot of struggle in that domain. So as an example, we work with a lot of vendors for medications or equipment, and these individuals come to the hospitals to either sell or to deliver equipment, say, for an operation. And they will frequently look to the male physicians in the room and refer to them as doctor. And when they see a female physician, they'll say, "Hey, Pat, how are you today? How are the kids?" And it's nice and it's friendly, but it's really putting me in a different position than they are the male colleagues, where they said, "Dr. Jones, you know, we've got everything you need for your case today. Here it is." And I think that is a time to speak up and say, you know, not necessarily in a public setting, but you can take them aside. I prefer to be called Dr. McKay when I'm at work. Or don't address my partners as doctor and me as Pat. It undermines my credibility in this space where there's other individuals, nurses, maybe residents, trainees. And so I think that in those settings, you need to make sure that you are direct with people and let them know. If I've seen this many times, of a panel of physicians will come up and the man leading the panel will again refer to the male physicians as doctor and the female physician by the first name. You can choose whether to make a scene in front of the audience, but at the very least, I would point it out to them afterwards and say, please address us all the same way. And that's it's really a surprisingly common phenomenon. I think in other settings, if you're working on a committee, if you're working with another group where the mixture is maybe closer to 50-50, which is happening more and more often in medicine as young women are surpassing males in college graduation rates and medical school classes and gradually into the surgical specialties. We're far from 50-50 in orthopedics, but it is a growing number. So when you're in a more balanced environment, I think it's easier to work towards collaboration and to rely on your personal style. Does that answer your question?
This is a fantastic answer, and I imagine it's incredibly frustrating to be called by your first name when your colleagues are called by a doctor. And I can't imagine, I have to hope or imagine that that's not an intentional thing, which I think is part of what makes this so difficult to overcome as a society, this gender equality, is this idea, you know, people don't mean to do that. And I love your, you know, sometimes it's appropriate to address it right away. Sometimes it's appropriate to address it in private. And I imagine when that happens, I hope people say, "Holy cow, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry, and I'll try to do better." But you got to address it. And that's what I'm taking away from your answer. You got to address it.
Yeah, I think that's it. I know one of my colleagues, she used to say, "Well, surgery made a man out of me." And I don't think that's what draws us to medicine. We're not trying to become men so we can practice surgery. But you feel like you have to adopt these masculine traits to succeed. And I think it's really good news for women interested in medicine or healthcare fields that that's changing. And of course, it's changing in business as well. It's changing in, if you look at leaders throughout the world, women are coming to the table. Women are moving up. And while the numbers are still unbalanced, I don't think that we have to be afraid that there's no space for women to move forward, but we just need to know to advocate for ourselves and to not let these small discrepancies continue, because they eat at your credibility.
That's a great point. Don't let these things, it's not a matter of being nice or polite and not addressing it. It's a matter of your credibility. Dr. McKay, we're going to take a quick moment and recognize one of our sponsors, and then we'll get right back to this conversation.
Thanks, Knight. Women Lead Radio today is brought to you by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be San Diego's largest private nonprofit university, founded in 1971. Their mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe, with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. You can enroll online today, and thank you for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. And now, Knight, back to your show.
All right. Thank you. Back to our show. Dr. McKay, this conversation is fascinating to me, and your perspective is just invaluable. And I ask this to all of my guests, and we've already kind of talked about it, but do you think, in general, women have unique strengths as leaders?
I do think women bring a different perspective. And, of course, a lot of this is a broad generalization. But, in general, women bring a more cooperative and compassionate side to business decisions, and they are more reluctant to stir up conflict or create controversy. In many settings, that's good. Maybe in some business dealing, that can be a disadvantage. So if you're negotiating a contract, men are much more likely to ask for more money and not settle for the first contract that's offered. Women are more likely to say, well, this looks pretty good. I'll just take this now, and maybe later they'll offer me something better. And so sometimes it's a negative if you're not willing to negotiate, where a man might expect to do more negotiation to get to the final point. And I think men are less likely to assume that negotiation means I don't like you, or I don't trust you, or I think you're a bad person. They just accept it as, this is part of doing business. We negotiate. I'm looking out for my interest. You're looking out for your interest. And women are a little bit more, well, if I seem like I'm contradicting what they've offered or turning it down and I want more, then I might seem like I'm not a nice person to work with, so I won't do that. They kind of step back. So I do think we have many strengths, and I think that it's a very good for developing educational systems and working through problems and delivering, say, medical education or patient care, but it's sometimes a disadvantage if you're trying to make your own contract better or get your own academic promotion or move up that ladder. So,
very much situational. I'm going to ask a loaded question here, and I think it's totally appropriate to say I'm not going to answer this question, but, you know, if I'm going into surgery, do women have unique strengths as surgeons and doctors?
So there have been some actual studies to look at that, and even one op-ed that says, why on earth would we ask a question if women – because based on their gender, women humans are less capable of doing these technical procedures than male humans when we have the same physical and mental capacity with maybe less strength or dexterity. So I think the truth is there's really no difference, male or female surgeons, although there's been a couple studies that suggest that female surgeons, even if you adjust for the complexity of the case, have slightly better outcomes, and the same thing in internal medicine. And this may be more related to the fact that women doctors often spend more time with their patients. They listen to the patient longer, so they may be getting some important details that help. Or maybe the patient is just more satisfied with the relationship, and therefore when they rate the physician and the outcome of their surgery, they give the female surgeon a higher rating. So I don't know that we really are better surgeons, but I think it's fair to say that we're certainly not worse surgeons. And we may be better caregivers in that we do listen more and the patients feel more comfortable. Now, there are patients who are nervous about having a female surgeon or who even refuse to have a female surgeon, but I don't think that's the rule. I think that's really just the individual exceptions.
Right. That's, yeah, it's a more collaborative experience, perhaps, and I've seen that just through my wife, Dr. Campbell, and her approach to spending more time with people. And of course, that's all in general. I'm sure there are male surgeons out there that are very much collaborative as well. I want to shift gears here a little bit. I had this coaching conversation with an executive not too long ago, and she told me this, that it just blew my mind, that she's interviewing for new executive level positions. And a couple of times, all men on the interviewing panel have said, well, we think you'd be good, but we're not sure that you could give 110% to this job because you should also be taking care of your children. And that blew my mind. What's your take?
So, as you probably know, in medical education, they had to write rules that say you aren't supposed to ask people about their family, how many kids they have, when, and what their plans are for taking care of their children. And the reason they had to actually write rules about that is because of the perception that you just outlined, that somehow a woman will be less available or responsible as in a position than a man who has children. So, of course, it's a unavoidable fact that right now the women bear the children because that's biology, and so time to be pregnant, time to have a baby, time to raise the child in those early months, it is something that women by and large have to do. And obviously we can, there's some medical science going on that may change that, but I don't want to get sidetracked. So for the majority of humans born on the planet, they're going to be born to a woman. And the I have absolutely seen and heard the same thing. I had people tell me I didn't want certain jobs as in the Navy or in medical education because I had children and I really should be focused on my children, which is not good leadership. It's intruding into my family. So, and also we had women who chose not to come to our training program because some of our orthopedic physicians said things to them of that nature, that you can either be a good orthopedic surgeon or you can be a good mother. You can't be both. Completely untrue and unfair and very inappropriate. So, when those kinds of comments are made, then you are potentially looking at the wrong organization to work for because that's an environment that is going to be upset with you for doing the things that parents have to do. And a corollary to this is something I've seen a lot when a man takes time off work, you know, leaves a little early or takes time in the middle of the day to accompany his pregnant wife to an ultrasound appointment because he's excited to see the baby, or is leaving early to coach his kids' sports team. He's viewed as just a marvelous human being.
Of course.
Engaged with his family, and wow, what a guy. But when a woman does this, you know, has to go for the ultrasound, she's messing up everybody's schedule by going off to
right.
have this baby and leaving work to take a sick child to a pediatrician's appointment. Well, can't she get a nanny for that? Why is she leaving? She should be here. And nobody wants to say, like, wow, she's a devoted mother and she's right where she needs
right.
to be today. That double standard is absolutely out there. Women are just as likely to make those negative comments as men, unfortunately. So sometimes we can be our own enemy.
Right.
And I think the only way around it is to continue to be open, to point out if you're aware of it within your group. You know, I understand you like to coach soccer. You have to leave at 3 o'clock so you can get there to coach soccer. I have kids too. I'm going to take care of my kids. But in an if it's an employment interview, that subject is not supposed to come up.
Yeah,
and I
think
you can. Yeah, it's really not meant to come up in the employment interviews.
So you I think, have at least as successfully as possible done this. You have 3 teenage daughters. You're helping get them educated during a pandemic. You're also an orthopedic hand surgeon, had a successful career in the Navy. We're unfortunately coming up on time here, but what advice do you have for listeners who are trying to juggle all these really serious commitments in life?
I think the most important lesson, and I was taught this by peers, get help. Don't be afraid to outsource. If you love your bathrooms to sparkle and you only have time on Sunday, hire somebody to clean the house. I know other people who love to clean their house, and it's almost a meditation for them to do it. Mm. If cleaning your house brings you peace, clean your own house. But if it's just a point of discussion or even a source of arguments with your spouse, then get somebody to clean the house. So don't be afraid to outsource tasks, food delivery, laundry service, housekeeping, lawn, car detailing, whatever it is that you need to take off your plate so that you have time for that family, because your kids are only going to be little for a short time. It only feels like forever when you're in it. And then make time to do things together as a family that are worthwhile. And for some people that is housework and yard work because they can bond in those times. But for others, you know, we like to go hiking, we like to go camping, and that's important time for us together. But also make time for yourself and for your partner alone, because people need to have friends. Women need to have friends that are women. Men need to have friends that are men. You need that opportunity to step out of the family and go for a mountain bike ride, go for a hike, go for a trip to the beach. So I say don't be jealous of your partner's friendships or your children's friendships. Nurture those. They need other people in their world just like you do. And don't count going to work as your time to yourself. Going to work is work. Maybe it's 2 days out of a year, but make time to be your own person and to reflect. And then many women are finding benefit from coaching, and there are lots of coaching sites through social media. I know on Facebook there's one specifically for women surgeons called Common Thread. There are other things available. It doesn't have to be expensive, but seek that group that you can go to with a problem. This happened at work. What do you ladies think about it? and get some feedback, because you're probably not alone.
Right.
So I think that's the most important. And when you need to take a step back, like for my family, three teenagers, I can't hire a nanny for an 18-year-old. You know, it needs to be a parent.
Right.
So this was a time that I chose and we chose as a family for me to just say, okay, we've got a few months here. I'm going to see that everybody's logging in on time, what's happening with the computers, and navigate this process that's so different and new for everyone in America and I guess beyond America. So online education is a new thing for everybody, and I'm grateful to be able to help get my kids through it. But you can't hire out with teenagers. You have to be present for them.
I can imagine. Those are all really fantastic, and we'll capture those and write them out for people as well, because that's some really great actionable advice. I appreciate you sharing. If listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can reach out to me by email, patricia.mckaymd@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect. And last question for you. What do you know now that you wish you had known at the beginning of your career?
I think I have been really very fortunate, because early on I had the benefit of talking to a female orthopedic surgeon who trained in the 1960s, and it was truly hard for her. In fact, she hid her gender, didn't reveal it on the interview application, but it only was obvious in the interview. And she told me, and this helped me, the war is already won. Women aren't going backwards in America. We're only going forward. And you don't have to be stronger. You just have to be smart and be true to yourself. And I think most of the time I was able to see that. I was able to enjoy the training. I loved being a medical student at USIS, and I loved my partners in my orthopedic residency. But I think there were times that I thought, oh, gosh, I'm never going to be able to convince these people that I'm as good as I need to be to take that position or to do this job. And the truth is, the war is already won, and you are good enough, and you can do it. And you have to learn to communicate that to the people around you. I wish I knew to be confident and to be comfortable that these things are within our grasp and we can do it. We just need to work for it and put that effort in, and you can make it happen.
It's a powerful mantra. The war is already won. You don't have to be stronger. Just be smart. Be true to yourself. Absolutely love
it.
Dr. McKay, thank you so much for your time and insights and wisdom today. I've learned a great deal, and I imagine our listeners have as well. So I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
All right. That's all for our show today. Thank you again, Dr. McKay, for being our guest, and thank you for all our listeners around the world. Remember, you can always tune into Women Lead Radio shows Mondays at 9 a.m. and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It has been my pleasure to be your host today. I hope this episode inspires you to keep exploring, pushing your boundaries, and leading on the edge.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.